Welcome to this quarter presentation. Whether you are watching us on the internet, listening on the phone, or being present here in the auditorium, we hope everyone has got the material we have made available. We inform you also that in addition to watching us on the internet, we have two other options available. One is to actually watch this transmission live on your mobile phone, provided you have one that takes 3G, Edge, or DVR-F. We also have a downloadable version of a recording of the transmission, which you may download a little later today. Secondly, you may pose questions in writing. When you are watching this on the internet, we cannot guarantee that all the questions will be answered live here during the conference, but we will deal with any questions later if we cannot deal with them here in the conference. After a brief presentation here, there will be, of course, a general question and answer session, first from the audience here, then on those listening on the phone. And then, of course, we will make key persons there available for individual interviews. All this said, let's get down to the business and the third quarter results in more detail. And to present the figures, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our new CFO, Mr. Trond Vestli. So, and I yield the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, good morning to you all. We're happy to present to you this morning another set of strong quarterly figures from Telenor today. The quarter as such It seems to be frozen for the time being. You should have frozen it on the next panel because that's where the initial figures are.
The growth element for Telenor also in this figure, this quarter, is quite strong. We have a 13% revenue growth on a reported basis, and underlying 10%. And this is stronger growth figures than we've had both for first and second quarter this year. This is also a growth element which we've seen a bit stronger than the industry average in Europe. The revenue growth also pours into the EBITDA side of the reported package, so that the reported EBITDA margin is now 37.4. Sorry, the adjusted EBITDA margin is 37.4%, which really is 1.1% up compared to third quarter last year. It is the mobile growth that contributes to this to the most. And as you shall see later in the presentation, the growth figures are spread for many companies. We're also very happy to having moved through the news last week about increasing our stake in DTAC in Thailand, moving up the ladder from 40% direct and indirect ownership into 56.9% through the deal that was announced last year. Let's then move on to the mobile area. And I'm here describing to you the continued subscription growth that we see in the overall customer base. It is another quarter of strong growth, and it's an 11% growth also this quarter, which is about the same as we had for second quarter. And this growth builds very nicely on previous quarters. Moving then on to the domestic mobile, we have a fantastic quarter behind us in third quarter. The third quarter is generally quite good because of the seasonal effects, but in particular this one is good both on revenues and on EBITDA in particular. The EBITDA margin is up to 39%, which is up 2 percentage points for this quarter alone. And this is primarily due to a more efficient cost structure related to the retention work that we do in the domestic market. There is still a customer growth in the Norwegian market, and we now estimate the penetration to have exceeded 106%. And we seem to have taken at least our fair share of that part this quarter. And we are also particularly happy with the fact that the balance between postpaid and prepaid has moved into the postpaid direction this quarter, as this was one of the concerns that we had after second quarter. Moving to Sonofon in Denmark, Sonofon builds on the positive trend that we started upon this year. We are able to build the revenues as much as 14% this quarter, measured up against the same quarter last year. But we have to remember that both third and fourth quarter last year in Denmark was very weak quarters. Nonetheless, this is a very strong quarter compared to the history here. And the Danish market seems now quite different from what it was last year. We will continue to build the market awareness around Sonofon from the present position that we now have established, as well as we will also try to push for the cost efficiency side further from where we are today. But we're very happy that Sonofon is back in business on a solid trend like this. Moving over to another fantastic growth market, the Ukrainian market. Kyivstar now has, for the first time, an estimated market leadership in Ukraine. And this happens in a market where there really is also for this quarter significant growth. We've added 1.6 million customers, and this happens at the same time as we're maintaining the ARPU level. This pours back into an impressive revenue growth of 71% for third quarter. There is an intensified competitive situation in Ukraine since the third player has now also started to make an impact, and they have reached its first million set of subscribers through this quarter. But both Kyivstar and UMC have done well and growing the market significantly at the same time. We do expect, though, that the fourth quarter will be a very busy quarter, also adding a high number of customers. And we have to remember that we are also approaching the Christmas season. So we do expect that with another great quarter in fourth quarter, in particular related to the Christmas and New Year's period, we do anticipate that we might get an ARPU reduction because of the fact that customers coming in late in the quarter will be there with a very short period of activity for the fourth quarter compared to the average of our third quarter. Moving on to Panon. This is a very good quarter from Panon this third quarter. We maintain the market position at the same time as improving the EBITDA margin, underlying though up to 39%, which is up 2 percentage points. The difference between reported and underlying here is an add-back of previous accruals related to the user commitments. So, but still, it's a very good quarter for Panon. And it seems that we now get a payoff from the market work that we've been doing, trying to position Panon as the national operator, taking good care of our customer base. We have also launched UMTS, but this was done 10th of October. So there isn't an impact from that in this package, of course. Moving to Malaysia, which also had some news out yesterday. This is another strong quarter from Digi. The Digi operation is basically all okay on all parameters. The market share is still building, and both subscribers and revenues are up. And revenues are up on a yearly basis on 22.6% in this quarter. Previously, it was, as I said, announced a new dividend policy for Digi, and this shows that the company has now come into another phase. We have also signaled our interest for the UMTS spectrum, as we see this as the sensible step to take from the existing market position in a country like Malaysia. CapEx in fourth quarter will be high, as it has been for previous years. Last year's CapEx amounted to close to a billion Norwegian crowns, and annualized 2005 will be somewhat higher than last year. Stepping over to another growth market in Asia, Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, the market growth slowed somewhat in third quarter compared to second quarter, and this was due to the SIM card tax that was introduced. Discussions are still going on with the authorities as to the details in this tax element. But we do have to anticipate that with such an introduction, the speed of the growth in the market would be somewhat lower than what it was in second quarter. But still, it's a significant revenue growth of approximately 30% in Bangladesh. So the growth tendencies are still there. The margin is up this quarter, as we predicted. It's now up above 50% again after the dip that we saw in second quarter. Bangladesh is, as I said, a great market, and we maintain a solid market share of plus 60% also in this quarter. CapEx will be high as of the same reasons as we see in Ukraine. But we do think that this is a very sensible step to take to build coverage and capacity, since the market is still offering this growth element. And we do think this growth element will still be there for many quarters. Moving to Pakistan. Pakistan is, of course, deeply impacted after the earthquake. From Telenor as a group, we've committed 5 million Norwegian crowns to the relief work, mostly through the Red Cross. Many Telenor companies have contributed to this, in particular the Asian countries. In the third quarter this year, Varid has passed Telenor in number of subscribers. And this is due to the differences in the network build-out that we've executed, where we have focused our network on quality and a robust network, whereas Varid has a wider coverage in more cities but with fewer base stations. We believe that our strategy in the longer term is the better one, but we do appreciate that we have a lot to do in order to achieve extended coverage towards the end of this year in order to build the position and also to reach the targets that we set for the operation. Moving then to Thailand. This is the first time we're showing Thailand in this format. In Thailand, we last week announced that Telenor, according to our strategy, has increased our economic exposure to 56.9% by acquiring Ucom shares from our partner. We will thereby consolidate DTAC from October this year. On an annual basis, this adds approximately 10% of revenues to the group level and 12% on the EBITDA level. According to regulations, we will issue tenders in Thailand towards other UCOM shareholders and in Singapore towards other DTAC shareholders. But we do target that both listings will be maintained. Operationally, third quarter was a very competitive quarter, and we do expect this to improve somewhat in fourth quarter. Moving then over to another business area, fixed line operation. And we're looking firstly at the fixed operation in Norway. Migration continues in this market, both to mobile as well as to broadband. Revenues are down 3.1%, which is at the expected level. The same trends of reductions in PSTN and ISDN lines is still there underlying, and the growth element in broadband also seems to hold. This development, though, requires a full push towards further cost efficiencies in the fixed line operation. And during 2005, we will have reduced number of man years by approximately 700 if you compare beginning of the year towards the end, up against the end of the year. And this takes us a long way towards the 1.5 billion in cost savings that we've targeted for 2007. The growth in ADSL connection is still very strong. We've now reached 36% penetration, and 750,000 households have now connected to broadband. And this is now soon reaching up to the peak of ISDN connection that we had some years ago. But we expect that this number will be beaten. Our market share is now 59%, and we do expect that the growth element will continue through the winter. The migration, as I mentioned, is still there. We now see some market trends. The voice over IP is becoming more visible. We have started actively to do both sales and marketing activities on voice over IP. And as a consequence, we do believe that the migration to this communication platform will speed up through the winter. And of course, we do have our ambition to maintain also the leading market share in this respect. We're moving to Denmark. Cyber City. In Denmark, the Cyber City has developed very good through the third quarter in a very competitive marketplace. The financials in the Norwegian crowns are slightly under-reflect the growth element in local currency due to the appreciation of Norwegian crowns up against both Danish and Swedish crowns, as you can see on later panels here. After the first half year, we've had a market share of 13.3%, but through the third quarter, we believe we've improved our market position through 11,000 new net adds in the quarter. Then to Sweden. This is the first quarter we do report Telenor AB and Bredbandsbolaget together. The challenges in telephony and the datacom continues at the same time that broadband grows. The accumulated margin is suffering from a one-off of restructuring in Telenor AB, targeting a staff reduction of 90 man years towards the end of the year with 20 million Norwegian crowns. The Swedish market is going through a period of tough price competition. The number of broadband connections in the quarter has increased 90,000, whereas in Norway it increased 56,000 for comparison. Of this, Bredbandsbolaget took 14,000, which is less than its market share. And our speed in this respect was not satisfactory through July and August, whereas it picked up in September. But we do have to speed up to continue and to follow up against the market growth in Sweden in this respect. Closing then in on the third business area of Telenor, broadcast. The revenue growth in broadcast is for this quarter 5%, Well, as I said initially, there is a small suffering from the appreciation of the Norwegian crown. In local currency, the growth would have been around 7%. The customer growth is now in second half somewhat stronger than what we saw in the first half of this year. And the lower margin in this quarter is coming mainly from the fact that the third quarter in 2004 was a particularly strong quarter, also because of some one-offs. But still, Broadcast is capturing market share, and we're very satisfied over the development. Now, before handing over to Trond Vestli, which is his first quarter as CFO, I highlight this quarter as a strong quarter with significant growth and stable or improved market position for all our mobile companies, as we also had after the second quarter. So we do see this as a good platform for the quarters ahead of us. Tom?
Good morning. I will take you through the overview of the third quarter group financials. The key messages for this strong quarter is a revenue growth of 13% with an underlying growth of 10%. It's a strong underlying margin improvement in the EBITDA. It's a continued high growth in the mobile subscription. And DTAC in Thailand is going to be consolidated from the fourth quarter. As a technical information, Ucom, the company holding 40% in TARC, will, as a result of the irrevocable offer on certain assets, be treated as assets held for sale for recording purposes in the future. Going to the reported profit and loss statement, we see that the growth from third quarter 2004 to 2005 is a growth of more than 2 billion Norwegian kroners. The major reasons for that is the overall growth in mobile revenue of 19%. The major contributor in that is Kyivstar growth with 70%, followed by Digi and Grameenphone. Bredbåndsbolaget and CyberCity is consolidated from July and is also contributing to the growth. The EBITDA is growing from 5.7 billion to 6.4 billion year on year, more than 700 million Norwegian kroners. And the net income for the quarter is 2.2 billion. That is giving us an earnings per share of 1.30. The year-to-date earnings per share is 3.46. Compared to the full year earnings per share of 2004 with 3.25. The adjusted EBITDA is 6.6 billion. That is 220 million higher than the reported figure. The difference is the MVNO write-down in Mobile Sweden and restructuring charge in fixed Norway. And the number is evenly divided between the two. The year-on-year third quarter margin growth is 1.1%. And the margin growth in the last quarter was 3.8%. The improved margin is mainly explained by the strong growth in Kyivstar, the margin improvement in Telenor Mobile, growth and increase margins in DG, and also lower corporate function costs in other business. And the reason for that is a high cost charge in the third quarter in 2004, in addition to improvements in the EDB business partner results. Going to the personnel development, we see it is a reduction of personnel in Norway with 400 people from the year end of 2004 until the third quarter of 2005. And we also see that it's the first time that Telenor have more people employed outside of Norway than in Norway. Taking the capital expenditures, we have an accumulated, so far this year, spent 10 billion Norwegian kroners. In the third quarter, the capex is 3.7 billion, and the main uses is Keystar with 1.1 billion and Grameenphone with 600 million Norwegian kroners. The year-to-date ratio on sales capex, is 20%. Net debt rose in the third quarter with 4 billion Norwegian kroners. The main contributor to that increase is the acquisition of Bredbåndsforlaget and CyberCity that was paid in July. The other adjustment is the usual with contribution from the running earnings as well as the capex, leaving us at a net debt of 21.8 billion. The net debt EBITDA ratio is at 1, and we think that's still a strong ratio to have. The share buyback have continued in the third quarter, and we have acquired 7.3 million shares with an average price of 67.20. We will buy 8.5 million shares from the government according to the agreement we have with them to keep the ownership share unchanged on the government side. Finally, we have acquired 1.7% of the outstanding shares, and we expect that the buyback program will continue in the same pace as the last two quarters. Then going to the outlook for the year. We maintain our outlook for 2005 as stated, as previously stated, with one exception, and that's the last bullet on the slide. We see the full year capex to sales ratio will increase somewhat compared to the capex sales ratio for the full year of 2004 as a result of the good subscription growth that we have in the international mobile. And that concludes my part here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I'd like you to keep staying and then invite also Mr. Buckwell back and also Senior Executive Vice President Arne Johansen to take your questions. We start with a question from the audience here, and as a courtesy to those watching on the internet and listening on the phone, we ask you please to wait for a microphone to be handed to you before you put your questions, and please introduce yourself. So, we are ready for your questions. Very quiet here today. Okay. Ready? Bjørn Vesset.
Bjørn Vesset from Television. It's been quiet on the eastern front lately, referring to your conflict with Alpha Group and in Ukraine and Russia. Can you give us your assessment of the situation as of today?
Yeah, in the case that you're referring to, there is basically no news after the extraordinary General Assembly that took place. VimpelCom has not done any conclusions after that meeting. And I guess that's why there has been also some silence on that issue. But basically there is no use, other than Infocom is doing very fine in its market, developing the network operation quite nicely and staying on taking the good market shares that they have enjoyed also previously.
Okay, can I add some questions from the internet watchers? Mr. Tom Hestar, IBB, what is the ARPU figures for Pakistan?
The ARPU figures are still low. It's in that range that we expect, but at the lower end. And the range that we have talked about is $4 to $6. And we are, today, we are at the lower end of that. But it's showing signs of improvement, so it's moving in the right direction.
Okay, over there.
Over me, Seth from Fund Finance. My question is about Bangladesh. With the GSM Association's announcement of the purchase of the cheaper mobile handsets from Motorola with an end-user price of about $30, where Telenor is a part, and I assume that is perhaps intended for Bangladesh and Pakistan, do you think this reduced end-user price will somewhat offset the SIM card tax introduced in Bangladesh and be able to bring back growth projections to the old?
Yeah, it definitely helps, and as you correctly state, we have been quite active in that program. Even our CEO from Bangladesh, Eric Voss, was heading the project within the GSMA, and it definitely helps, but of course, the minute we had this secured, so to speak, the tax for activation went up. So it kind of counteracted it a little bit, and so far, the operators have to a very limited degree subsidized that connection tax. And that has slowed down the speed of growth right now. We are still working on the tax issue. And also the GSMA have produced a very interesting report about the impact of taxation of telecommunications, what it does to the country and the economy. And that generally it's a much better idea not to tax communication. And we are working on that, and we hope that the tax will also be reduced if we are successful. So we don't expect the handset price as such to fully compensate for that that slowdown.
Okay, looking at one from Bengt Pallerud, Nordea, about Sweden. Although Bredbandsbolag is growing nicely, the remaining operation in Sweden disappoints. What's your view and plans for Telenor Swedish operations?
As I mentioned in my presentation, we have already executed a program of staff reductions with the target of reducing the workforce by 90 man years. And this has also to do something with the underlying streamlining of the work processes to be done, to simplify these and to utilize more efficiently IT systems, etc. But it is a fact that the traditional services offered from Telenor AB are services which are subject to heavy price competition both on telephony as well as on the datacom. And we do have a job to do in order to improve this situation, absolutely.
Okay, there seems to be no further questions from the audience yet up there. Sorry.
Following up on Sweden, for sale, and also Telenor has been mentioned about the potential buyers. Could you comment on this? Would an acquisition of Com Hem make sense for Telenor?
Generally, generally speaking, a question like that will not be answered sort of in direct terms. Comair is an asset among other assets in the Nordics here, and whether we will sort of look seriously on this asset or other assets as a fit, that is something we will not comment upon in detail.
Okay, then I think we open up a question from the call conference. I call from the call conference host to introduce the participant from the telephone.
Mr. Ray from the company UBS, please.
Hello, good morning. I was wondering whether you could give us your sort of bird's eye view on Q3 results. What I'm aiming at is to understand, say, 6 to 9 months ago in Q4 and Q1, there was a confluence of some issues in the company that maybe growth was below trend. Now, seeing this set of strong results, would you feel this is typical for how you would expect your company to run, or do you think this is maybe now the opposite, i.e. confluence of particularly strong results in this quarter and not necessarily representative of where you sort of expect your business to go, not only in the next quarter, but also into 2006. Thank you.
Just to be certain about your question, it was a bit soft here in the beginning, but did you refer to Q-Star?
No, but about the big picture on the group level, if you sort of look at the group level, at your business overall.
Overall, the development in fourth quarter and first quarter, sort of close to a year back, was not as expected following upon third quarter 2004. And the seasonal effects around the year end seem to be at that year end closing, more effect, having a deeper impact than what we had expected. But keep in mind that also in that period we had a deeper service offering in Kyivstar with free airtime in order to attract customers at the Dijus brand in that period, which lasted for fourth quarter and through first quarter. So we do think that the situation is somewhat better approaching fourth quarter and first quarter next year compared to last year. But we do not underestimate that the seasonal effects around Christmas and New Year's Eve have a certain impact on our figures, so we're cautious about sort of putting the ruler on what's being presented on this third quarter, bearing in mind the seasonal effects that we had last year. But as I said, we do expect that this seasonal fluctuation is not as strong as it was last year.
Can I just clarify, you did answer this question now specifically for Ukraine, is that correct?
No, this was basically through all...
for all your business.
But
thank you.
But we had this specific effect on Ukraine last year, which I commented upon.
I understand. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Hovni in Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit more detail on the Norwegian fixed business, particularly around Naked DSL, which you've been offering for a while now. Are you able to give the number of subscribers or the proportion of subscribers on retail DSL and wholesale DSL that are Naked in that business?
Yeah. I think that is already on one of the pages that we have presented this morning.
So the 117 number that you give the voice over IP, that would be the number without traditional PSTN or SDN connections.
Yeah, the figure at the end of this quarter will be 209,000 out of 750,000 connection in the market overall on DSL. And as you can see from this panel, which is the second panel under the fixed presentation, you can see that the growth in this quarter it has been 56,000 overall, building the market from 694,000 to 750,000. And out of this, 209,000 is based upon naked DSL. And the wholesale is fairly stable at 97,000, whereas Telenor retail is 444,000 on DSL.
I was actually referring to the naked DSL products within your retail subscriber base rather than for the local loop and bundles subscribers. If you're able to give that detail.
Well, I think that the naked DSL is those 209,000. There is no naked DSL within the 444,000.
Okay, thank you.
So, and if there are further details, I will refer you to the Investor Relations Department.
Thanks.
Next, Mr. Molson in Chevrolet, please.
Yes, hello. Thank you. This is Peter Kernison from Chevrolet. Just a quick question relating to the domestic Norwegian mobile business. We seem to have enjoyed a couple of relatively good and acquired courses, as you pointed out, has been visible in the results. How long do you see this persist? I mean, do you see the Telia's acquisition or the expected acquisition of Chess as a potential catalyst for return to a slightly more intensified mobile market in Norway? Thank you.
Well, this can only be speculation, but I would assume that Telia Sonera has bought the Chess customer base for some reason. So what kind of activities that they will put in here is quite difficult for us to judge. We're very happy, though, that the third quarter for Telenor has moved this strong as it has, as it creates a good platform for us going forward as well. And given that there also are reductions in the advantage that Telia Sonera has both on the Chess Sense customer base as well as the Netcom customer base on mobile termination charges, and that this advantage now will be reduced from October after the regulation from the PCT. I think that the competitive ground is at least becoming somewhat more balanced, even though there is still a differential on mobile termination charges, which is not the case in other Nordic countries.
So you do not want to turn or sort of aggressively aiming to retain some of those customers, which might lead to a more intensified competition, say, in the coming quarter?
Well, we will, of course, do this in a balanced way, but we also hope that the good service that we are able to offer from a very solid network all through the Norwegian geography will be a good argument also for those customers that might find themselves in a situation to switch to another network. So let's hope that we have good arguments on that score.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Kana in Deutsche Bank London, please.
Hi, good morning. I really had two questions. First one was a follow-up really on what Peter just asked. And just typically in other markets where we see consolidation going, we are sort of warned by the operators which are not participating in consolidation that they will particularly be more active in order to take advantage of this window of opportunity. I believe a similar strategy might have also been pursued in Denmark when TE and Orange were merging by other operators in that market. So again, I'm trying to get an understanding of whether we should expect an uptick in competition in the Norwegian mobile market, albeit being one-off during this consolidation process. And the second one is on Hungary. I was wondering if you could help provide us a little more color as to the margin development there. I mean, I thought it was pleasantly surprised myself, and I wanted to find out how much of that is just seasonal in nature, or whether we should expect a structural uptake in margins in that market. And the final question is on the Norwegian business. How much are the headcount reductions which you've already achieved in the first 9 months impacting the numbers already, or whether we should expect actually the impact to flow through only starting next year? Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll try to approach the Norwegian market now for the second time here instead of Fredrik. We consider the Norwegian market quite competitive already. And as a matter of fact, one of the more successful players has been Chess, and to somewhat less extent the old sense activities. And while we want to maintain our share of the FES customers, because, you know, we have the majority of them on our network today, not on the Telia, Sonera, or Netcom network, and we will definitely try to keep as many as possible, as Fredrik just mentioned. We are not foreseeing a big change in the competitive landscape as such. But as you know, the fourth quarter is a quarter of very high activity, and that is going to be shown in the results this year as well as we have had in other years. So we expect a fierce competition, particularly in the fourth quarter, and the results are going to be quite kind of normal compared to other years. Hungary, kind of the same picture. We had a good margin in the third quarter, but we are there also expecting very high activity in the fourth quarter in connection with Christmas and New Year campaigns, and to some extent is even more more significant in the Hungarian market than in the Norwegian market. So should also there expect to see the impact of the Christmas activities on the fourth quarter.
As for the third part of your question related to headcount reductions within the fixed value chain, the details of that is that we do target approximately 700 man-years reduction through the year. Out of this, up to second quarter, approximately half was already done. This autumn, we're working at 260 plus 100, which is part of the downsizing program this autumn. And we've included a restructuring charge of 120 million Norwegian kroner in the fixed line reporting for third quarter this year.
Yes.
And next call a bit.
So next is Mr. Bluestone in the company HSBC, please.
Hello there, Jake Bluestone from HSBC. Just following on from the previous question a little bit, could you maybe give us an indication of how much of the 1.5 billion reduction in the domestic fixed line cost base you have achieved so far? And if you can maybe also give us an update on how back-end loaded you expect these savings to be. And then if I can also just ask a question on Pakistan. You mentioned that Warid overtook you in terms of market share due to more extensive network coverage. Could we see you accelerating building out your coverage? And that's it. Thanks.
To build on what I said on the call structure for fixed, as I mentioned in my presentation, this takes us a good way towards the 1.5 billion targeted. But there will be actions also to be undertaken also in 2006 to reach the target for 1.5 billion. But I think we're basically towards the two-thirds of this figure when we enter 2006, given the downsizing that we have exercised already, as well as sort of new topics on the agenda for 2006.
It's correct that Warid and Telenor had different approaches in the launch in Pakistan, whereas we launched with very good capacity in our network in like 6 cities originally, and we have quite a few more cities right now. Warid actually launched in 25 cities at the same time, but not with the same amount of capacity and fewer base stations than we had in 6 cities. So that's why they could sell initially in more cities, which has helped them to kickstart. Our main task is, of course, to roll out in more cities with a high-quality network and high capacity, and we are doing that right now. And that handicap that we have on coverage, we think will be dealt with over the next quarters.
If I just ask one follow-up. Do you think in Pakistan is your focus more on growing ARPU or subscribers? You mentioned that you're at the bottom end of the $4 to $6 range, and I'm just sort of wondering if you're trying to get it up
I think in Pakistan we have to be quite realistic when it comes to what kind of ARPU level we can expect. And our expectations is no more than being in that interval $4 to $6. And we are at the lower end, but we are moving up in the right direction. So we are quite satisfied actually with that development.
Great, thanks.
Next, Mr. Harper in the Bearstern, please.
Yes, it's Paul Hart from Best. Just one very quick question. Just on the voice over IP migration, I'm just wondering if customers are typically, the customers that are taking voice over IP are typically migrating straight to naked DSL, or whether they maintain their existing fixed line for some period initially.
Do you mean fixed line for telephony purposes?
Yes.
Excuse me, did you hear my... comment. Did you specifically refer to fixed line connection for telephony purposes?
Yes, just in the domestic mobile. In domestic fixed. So, whether customers that are typically moving on to voice over IP, are they getting rid of their voice, their PSTN voice line at the same time, or are they maintaining both simultaneously for a period?
No, I mean if you go to voice over IP. You normally don't maintain the PSTN ISDN for voice purposes. Then the voice over IP sort of take care of the voice needs.
Thanks very much.
Next, Mr. Melerit, Nordea.
Yes, I just want to wonder regarding how you look upon the dynamics on the Pakistani market now with Millicom selling one of their operations there. And secondly, I just wonder regarding your view on Vietnam. What is your activity there currently, and what kind of aspirations do you have there?
Yes, we don't consider the sell-off of one of the Millicom assets as significant. As you saw, we had already overtaken those two companies. So we don't think that is going to impact very much. On our activities in Vietnam, we have set up a representative office in Hanoi, and we are there with a small staff, and are kind of watching and following the developments. We expect privatizations to happen over the next 12 to 15 months maybe, or maybe a little longer, but we are in an interesting phase, and we consider Vietnam an interesting market. So if it's possibilities opening up for us to position ourselves, we will definitely consider it carefully. And we definitely want to be there when these things are developing.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Pierce, Dresdner Bank, please.
Hi, good morning to you all. A couple of questions I wanted to ask. Firstly, I wanted to ask about debt levels. I mean, you told us when you were talking about the Thailand transactions that this could well exceed $30 billion, I'm guessing, by the end of this year. Should we think of debt as a stable level of around $30 billion by the end of this year, or is future M&A likely to move that further up? That's the first question. And secondly, I noticed that in terms of staff, as you said, there are now more outside Norway than inside Norway, and indeed one of the credit rating agencies suggested that 50% or more of your EBITDA is going to be coming from outside the Nordic markets by 2007. How far should we expect that to go? I mean, should we be thinking of when Telenor will become an only 25% Norwegian company? Thanks.
Let me try to start to crystallize a little bit, and Tom may fill in here. Debt levels, we have had in Telenor an ambition of maintaining the single A rating, and with the existing balance sheet, we feel comfortable on that score. The question has also been how much will we execute on the share buyback program, and you've seen us sort of executing on a certain practice on that issue. And as Trond said in his presentation, this is likely to sort of follow the steps that we've done before. As to your 50%, 25% question, there are many parameters to judge in such an equation. But it is a fact that we with DTAC in will cross through
with a bigger turnover coming from countries outside the Nordics. And basically that has been the strategy as well. So whether it will be 25 something in the future, I really don't have sort of a real prognosis on that issue. But we're very happy with the growth that we are achieving with our mobile companies, and we still think there is a growth to pick, whereas both customer acquisition as well as usage will grow in these markets for many years.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that was our final caller, and the questions I've got in writing here I think have been answered through the Q&A session. So I think that rounds up the Q&A. Thank you all for attending.